Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this preview edition as the Gophers head to Ryan Field in Evanston this weekend, hoping to get their 10th regular season win for the first time since 1905. 114 years, potentially, of years in the making with a win this weekend. But Luke, before we get into that, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor?
Yeah, in 2019, the Goal Line Club actually sponsors of the podcast. They also are sponsoring my cold this week, I think.
yeah, you can thank your son for that.
Yeah, I can thank my son for that. I'm assuming that both of my cheeks will be featured as the highest number of pressures on Pro Football Focus this week. But the Goal Line Club... But the Goal Line Club will be sponsoring our podcast for the remainder of the season. If you want to participate in any of their events, and they have very few number of events coming up because there's only one game left, but they are going to have multiple events, I imagine, here, hopefully in the off season, and hopefully there are some other things in the work, etc. But if you want to go to the Wisconsin one, the promo code is AXED5, A-X-E-D, and the number 5. I can't more highly endorse their events. All of them have been elite, to say the least. So, again, goallineclub.org, AXED5, will save you $5. All right, Ryan, first of all, what we need to get into, number one, is I hear a rumor that you're actually going to this game, this away game. Is it because that you actually own that field?
Yeah, I figure since the name of the field is legitimately, literally, and figuratively for the drinking game of use it, playing that at home, it is actually Ryan Field. So I felt like I might as well make the short flight down to Chicago and see what this team's about on the road, see if they can't get back on track before Wisconsin here next week. But yeah, I'm certainly going to be there to experience what an absolutely dead atmosphere is going to feel like.
Oh, man, that's a parting shot right there. Okay, let's talk a little bit of injuries. I think the headliner of the week is obviously Tanner Morgan. He left the game, and I think some people would say conspiracy theory if they're Iowa Hawkeye fans that he actually had a concussion. Others would say that, you know, that's pretty legitimate. So what say you, Ryan Burns?
I think that folks trying to tell me that Tanner Morgan is not in the concussion protocol, I'm going to direct them to a quote from PJ Fleck about that. Here's what he said about the Tanner Morgan concussion thing, where, and I quote, "A lot of people are telling me that I was faking an injury, and they did a great job on the sidelines noticing him, making him go down, that being the training staff. But a lot of people are trying to tell me that faking an injury and having a guy go down, that's what I was doing. That's ridiculous. I want my starting quarterback to go down so he has to come out of the game so I can put a true freshman in. That doesn't make any sense." And I'm sort of with him in terms of why would you have Tanner go down if you really truly believe he's not hurt? because you're putting in a true freshman quarterback.
Well, like all conspiracy theories, it's obviously the storybook ending, right? I mean, it's
this
the
isn't
fact
the grassy knoll conspiracy theory or Area 51.
It's the fact that, like, what would be better than upsetting Iowa with a true freshman quarterback in the most impossible spot, you know, next to Georgia Southern?
I mean, that'd be a heck of a story. It certainly would be. But the bottom line remains that Fleck confirmed on Tuesday that Tanner is in the concussion protocol. Now, the biggest question is going to be, and you're going to ask me, well, is he going to play this weekend? Everybody is different with brain injuries, because I truly do believe that Tanner has a concussion. So the question is going to be, if he were to practice on Wednesday, today, and he may very well may have, how does he feel tomorrow morning when he wakes up after going through physical activity? It's the brain. It's very, very tough to try and predict what it's going to do. So I truly don't believe we're going to know, and neither will Minnesota, if Tanner is going to be ready to go until Saturday morning in Evanston, Illinois. So if it's not Tanner, the next question, Luke, is who is it going to be? And I'll tell you this much. PJ Fleck and offensive coordinator Kirk Ciarrocca, they're not going to tell you who. And I'm not entirely sure who it's going to be either, because Jacob Clark has played in one game for one series this year, and Cole Kramer has played in three, including he was the one that came in at the end of the Iowa game. I really don't know what to expect. All I know is I wouldn't be surprised to hear that all three quarterbacks are getting reps this week. And the way that Ciarrocca and Fleck have phrased it, all three are going to get reps. All three should be proceeding as if they're going to start. And the two backups especially, it sounds like whichever one has the better week of practice is going to start. Now, I think that last line is a load of hogwash, and they know exactly which one would be going to be able to get the start. But, I mean, you can play the theory that Clark, they've been saving him for this moment right here. So they didn't burn his games during the year. They wanted to make sure that if an injury did happen to Tanner, and Minnesota's got three games remaining, potentially four if they're able to win the next two, that Clark can come in and still maintain his redshirt. But then you also have the Cole Kramer theory, where he's the one that has been coming into the game first throughout the entire 2019 season, including the final few snaps last week. I'm not entirely sure what to expect. I could speculate and say that I think that I'm like 55-45. It's going to be Jacob Clark over Cole Kramer, but I'm also not convinced that Tanner Morgan doesn't start the game on Saturday. So after 2 minutes of going back and forth here, Luke, I'm not entirely sure what to expect, but I do expect that Curtis Dunlap, Minnesota starting right guard, is going to be back into the lineup. And then the other thing is, who in the freaking world knows what Minnesota's going to do at kicker? PJ Fleck said on Tuesday, it's a three-headed coin between Michael Lance, Rock Walker, and UConn graduate transfer Michael Tarbutt, who also has not appeared in a game this year. It's almost like special teams performing poorly is something that PJ isn't taking too kindly to. So it's a week-by-week competition at kicker as well, Luke.
All right, so back by popular demand is the college football ranking, the depth chart conversation.
You got me so fired up about this.
Totally fired. You fired yourself up.
Oh, stop.
You totally fired yourself up. You just kept talking and talking and filibustering and filibustering, and the next thing we knew, you were angry.
By the way, whichever one of you, we do read the reviews on Apple.
That was awesome.
Somebody was talking about how I like to filibuster, which, I mean, in my defense, I can get long-winded. I'm well aware of that. But I just, some of these college football playoff rankings and the way that the playoff committee tries to justify themselves, it's sickening with the amount of bias that that group has. But here we are, Luke.
So I was a little surprised that the Gophers fell as far as they did, considering their quality loss.
Yeah. Oh, we can get into that whole discussion in terms of Penn State jumping ahead of them when the playoff committee says, well, they got more quality wins. I mean, if you consider Michigan a good football team, okay. But they also were trying to say, well, the head-to-head doesn't matter. Well, since when does the head-to-head not matter? Because if that's going to be an instance, what are we doing here? Or even Utah and Oregon being 9-1 and Minnesota having a better win than both of them, plus a better loss in my mind than both of them in terms of Oregon lost to Auburn. And last I looked, Luke, Penn State is higher in the standings, plus Minnesota has a better win than Oregon with mm-hmm. Penn State. They have a better loss than Oregon with Iowa, yet Oregon is three spots above them. I mean, here's the biggest thing that has me going. Why in the world is Texas A&M ranked? Well, Luke told me that before the show. In what world that we live in does Texas A&M deserve to be ranked at all? They're the 24th team in the country. You know who they've beat, Luke?
Well,
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, thank you.
A four-win South Carolina, something called Texas San Antonio, a four-win Mississippi State, a four-win Mississippi. They lost to Alabama, beat a two-win Arkansas team that's already fired their head coach. Your favorite team, something called Lamar. They haven't literally beaten anyone, yet they're ranked. Their best win is over a four-win team, and they're the 24th team in the country. You know why it's that way, Luke? Because Georgia needs to get a ranked win. And Georgia is playing Texas A&M this weekend. Georgia's going to win that game. And then the playoff committee can point to they beat a ranked team. Like, well, what are we doing?
I just want Indiana to be ranked again. That's just what I want. Did you see the shade that somebody on college or on the college football board on Reddit posted?
No, what do you say?
So something the extent of that they bestowed the longest unranked team in Power Five down to Purdue or something to that extent.
Oh, it feels bad, man.
Oh,
it feels extra bad.
The shade that was fired by Indiana.
Like, why is App State ranked and Indiana's not? Explain that one to me.
But Ryan, App State has a quality loss to a real team.
To Georgia Southern. Yeah, gosh. Regardless, Minnesota is the 10th team in the country per the college football playoff rankings. I don't know what a win to Northwestern is going to do to that this weekend.
It'll probably drop them.
Somehow Minnesota will drop. I'm not entirely sure. All I know is if, you know, the best case scenario here, Minnesota beats Northwestern, beats Wisconsin, and then somehow with a chip cheer and a chance beats Ohio State in the playoff, they better be in the playoff because you would have three ranked wins, including two in the top five, and your only loss is to a ranked team in the top 20 on the road. If you tried to keep Minnesota out in that instance and you tried to put like Oregon or Utah or heaven forbid Alabama back in over that, and then you couldn't tell me a scenario, especially if Alabama doesn't make the SEC championship game. No way. Like, no way Oklahoma deserves to be in it in that instance over Minnesota, because you would have Clemson and LSU barring something crazy happening. But you can't tell me that Alabama or Oklahoma or Utah or Oregon, whoever wins the Pac-12 there, deserves to be in it. Minnesota doesn't. But trust me when I say I wish this is a conversation that we actually have to happen or have to have here in a couple weeks. But, yeah, Luke knows how to get me going on these preview podcasts to get them fired up.
I submit once again that you just got yourself going. We'll let the people decide.
You stop. Okay. They weren't there for the pre-production meeting.
Yeah, well, they got basically the exact same conversation this time. Okay, so real quick. I think that people should get a word from their favorite insurance agency right now, and that would be the Burns Insurance Agency, who is owned by your father, Bill Burns.
All right, I need to collect myself here. But yes, the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, wants to remind Gopher fans that just because the Gophers aren't perfect anymore with their record, who of us in life is truly perfect? And with life's less than perfect moments, having an insurance policy there to pick you up and give you the ability to brush yourself off and start 0-0 on a given week is absolutely crucial. Now, the Burns Insurance Agency prides itself on helping protect you and your business and your auto and your home and your cabins and your boats and all those different things in those less than perfect times when something happens. So as the 9-1 Gophers roll into Ryan Field this weekend at Northwestern and take care of business, just as you should do that as well with your insurance. So if you want to, and we would highly encourage you to with this podcast, contact the Insurance by Burns folks at insurancebyburns.com to learn more about potentially getting a free quote and potentially save yourselves thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars with better coverage to cover those less than perfect life moments. So if you want to learn more, insurancebyburns.com.
All right, so let's preview this this game against Northwestern. I want to start where everybody probably wants to start when the Gophers are on defense, because they have heard how poor Northwestern is on offense. But, you know, Ryan, let's see what you know about the Northwestern offense. Did you know, Ryan, that they are averaging 14.5 points per game?
I would tell you that they're averaging only 9 points per game in Big Ten play.
Yikes. How about 290 yards of total offense, 125 through the air, and 165 on the ground? Did you know that, Ryan?
I would tell you that it's even less than that in Big Ten play, and I think that's going to be the theme here throughout the entire rest of the podcast when you talk about Northwestern's offense. The only Big Ten offense that's worse than them, Luke, is Rutgers, and that should tell you.
They're actually worse? Rutgers is actually worse?
It's somehow, we'll get into it, but it's Rutgers in Maryland that Northwestern has been competing with down here, but it hasn't been great. It certainly has not, Luke.
All right, so when the Gophers are on defense, you know, what are we going to be able to see out of the Northwestern offense, and how are the Gophers going to stop them?
Well, you're going to see an offense that, yes, you look at the box score last week, they played one of the worst teams in Division I, FCS, in UMass. And UMass should have been winning that game throughout the entire first half. I watched some of that game. UMass is really, really bad. I had one college coach text me during that game who game planned against UMass this year because their team played them. And they were like, how in the world is Northwestern losing to UMass? UMass was the worst team that they went against defensively all year. Now, they ultimately ended up rectifying that in the second half with Minnesota native and Maple Grove's own Evan Hall going for 220 and four scores on the ground. But it took them a very, very long time to get going. And the reason that is because their offense is abysmal and they've been absolutely decimated by injuries. Their starting quarterback, TJ Green, went down in their opening game against Stanford. He's been lost for the season. And now you'd think that the five-star quarterback transfer in Hunter Johnson that transferred in from Clemson, he'd be ready to shine in the limelight, right? No. 47% completion percentage, one touchdown, four picks.
It's almost like there's a reason he didn't win that starting job at Clemson.
It's almost like anybody they throw back there has just been really bad. The guy you're going to see this weekend with his arm, Aiden Smith, he was a disaster last week against UMass. He went 7 of 13 for 76 yards and two picks against UMass at home.
I'm just looking at his season stats. Do you know what his interception to touchdown ratio is?
3 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Well, you know everything.
It's almost like I do the research for this podcast, and then I get to let the people of Gopher Illustrated and their free preview for everybody to read, learn a little bit about. I try to be prepared as best I can be. Sweet giblets, Luke. But this is, I mean, we'll get into it when I get to the keys of the game here. But even at the skill position players, they've been decimated at the wide receiver position. Their top 3 receivers are out. Their starting tailback is out. I don't even know who we're going to see at tailback this weekend. It's everything that could go wrong for Northwestern offensively certainly has. But the key here, and Joe Rossi talked about it today with the media, is limiting big plays. If you don't, if you try to make Northwestern drive 8, 10, 12 plays down the field, they're not going to result in points.
So real quick, I think we just have to remind people that, you know, Northwestern actually this decade has actually been really good, right? And they actually won the
Big Ten West last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like they're the reigning champs. It's just been a very downtrodden season.
And that's the amazing thing about football is, like, just, you know, the cascading injuries can absolutely decimate a season. You know, I think people had fairly high expectations for this team. Not like they were going to necessarily win the West again, but I think there was a plausible situation where any team other than Illinois could win it. And the irony now is that Illinois could actually win it.
Yeah, some crazy things have to happen this weekend, including Minnesota and Wisconsin losing as 2 and 3 touchdown favorites respectively, but Welcome to college football with 18 to 22 year old individuals and the way that things ebb and flow with teenagers and young adults. It's quite crazy. But when we look at this defense for Minnesota, Luke, I just don't think that there's much of a chance for Northwestern to get going unless Minnesota comes out incredibly, incredibly flat.
Yeah, they'll have to change their best on what we saw in Iowa last week, where they came out a little bit flat, and you know, and to Iowa's credit, they had a great game plan, right? But definitely have to change their best there. So let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. This is a Northwestern team. The identity under Pat Fitzgerald has been defense, right? I don't think there's anybody that would question that. On the season, they're averaging giving up 23.5 points per game, and they are averaging in terms of yards allowed 344.5 per game, 202 through the air, 141 on the ground. So Ryan, what can we expect from the Gopher offense as they take on this notoriously disciplined and stout defense for Northwestern?
Well, I'll say this. I know two things. Number one, Derek Burns would kill me if I didn't say this. And I know that he'd been texting me about this week, but Minnesota can't go in there and expect to out-athlete Northwestern, and that's the reason why they'll win offensively, because that's exactly what Pat Fitzgerald's defense wants you to do. They know that they don't have the greatest athletes in the world, but they believe that they can out-scheme you, and Pat Fitzgerald's defense is really good, and that's why Kirk Soraka said today that he has an incredible amount of respect for that Northwestern defense. And he even has gone as far as saying that last year when Minnesota played them, that was the best schematically sound defense against Kirk Soraka's offense that he has seen in quite some time. He even called their defensive scheme brilliant. Now, Soraka was able to see that last year, and now he knows a little bit more of what to expect. But that being said, this isn't the same dominant defense as we've seen that's been a top 15, top 20 unit in the country the last few years. It's been much more towards average this year. Now, some of it has to do with the fact that their offense
can't get off the field.
Yeah, so the defense is playing a ton more snaps, and especially towards the latter half of the season here, you're going to start to get it, you know, worn down to an extent. And that's why you look at in Big Ten play, Northwestern is 10th in points per game at 10th in points per game allowed at 28. They're dead middle of the pack in yards per game allowed, middle of the pack in rush defense. But I'll say this. I think Minnesota's receivers are going to be able to win on the outside. Whether it is Tanner Morgan, Cole Kramer, Jacob Clark. And I'll also say that I think that the running game is going to find more success this week. The running teams that they've played of late that actually have a pulse. I don't count Purdue. I don't count UMass. But Indiana's running back was able to run for 120 yards and two scores. Iowa, which doesn't have a great running attack, was able to run for 135 yards and score as well against this Northwestern defense. So there's a couple of guys to know. One is a big guy in the middle by the name of Joe Gaziano, which if that doesn't sound like an Illinois Chicago football player, Joe Gaziano, I don't know what does, but he has been very disruptive, 5 sacks in Big Ten play. That's tied for 4th in the Big Ten. He's also got 8 tackles for loss. Plus, they have 2 really good linebackers, one by the name of Patty Fisher and the other one by the name of Blake Gallagher. So their front 7 is pretty stout. But I think that if Minnesota can just get a lead here, say 13-3, 10-0, that puts a ton of stress on a Northwestern offense that has been struggling immensely. And the way that you beat Northwestern's offense especially is forcing Aiden Smith to throw the ball to what PFF called the worst group of pass catchers in Division I FBS football. But it is certainly not the defense of old, but they are tremendously well coached, and that's something that you always can hang your hat on with Pat Fitzgerald.
All right, so we probably should get in a word from our sponsor, the Goal Line Club, once again. I think it would, I think we'd be remiss to not thank the Goal Line Club for the events that they put on. They've been just awesome this year. If you haven't had a chance to get to one of the tailgates or the previews, those events are great, and they will have one for Wisconsin. If you're not a member of the Goal Line, you can save $5 by using the promo code AXED5. AXED in the number 5. I would highly encourage you, if you're not of the Black Friday shopping identity, go out and check out the Goal Line Club's preview. It will be at Jack's Cafe. There is free parking there, so absolutely check that out. It is Jack's Cafe, right? Did I say that wrong?
It is Jack's Cafe.
Okay,
you got it
good.
Right.
Okay, I'm good. I'm not reading a script, so I'm really
You've
proud
been
of
there. I've been there.
The other thing
Jack's
is my
Cafe in Northeast Minneapolis.
Yeah, the other thing is that my brain just doesn't work very well with this cold, so I appreciate everybody for bearing with me. But truly, I do. I have really enjoyed the events this year, and this is your last chance this year. Yeah, they're going to sell out. There's no question. I think that
especially the tailgate, especially the luncheon before.
Yes.
Have what is likely shaping up to be Wisconsin and home to end the season. That's a given. It's going to be for the Axe. It's going to be for the Big Ten West. And Lord Almighty, if we get word this weekend that College Game Day is coming, I think excitement is going to go through the roof. I looked just before we recorded the podcast tonight, Luke. There's only 690 tickets left for that Wisconsin game. So if you are procrastinating on getting your tickets, I would imagine, especially if the news, like I said, breaks over the weekend that College Game Day is coming, you're going to see that ticket market.
Mm-hmm.
Those prices are going to go up.
Yep.
So you better buy tickets now before the prices go up. But we'd love to see you guys at the luncheon. We'd love to see you guys at the tailgate. And like we said, if you are not a member and you want to save $5 per person, it's AXED5. That's AXED 5.
All right. So when I look at this game right now, it is an 11 o'clock kick. It will be on ABC. Right now, if we're looking at the point spread, I am surprised to see that the Gophers are now a 13.5-point favorite, where it initially opened at 7, Ryan.
The whole 7 line doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I know that there were some people complaining to me on the Twitter machine and at Gopher Illustrated, Ryan, it didn't open at 7. I don't know where you're seeing that. Folks, I'm looking directly at VegasInsider.com. I can assure you that it opened at 7. It certainly did. Now, I think that was a bad line, and now it's moved all the way up to 13.5. But for those of you who are able to get Minnesota minus 7 here, kudos to you.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Vegas, yes, Vegas is thinking this is going to be somewhere around a 27-13 game.
Yeah, so I see the over-under at 39.5. Let's see. On the season, the Gophers are 6-3-1 against the spread, and alternatively, Northwestern is 2-8 against the spread. Just quickly looking at the weather in Evanston for Saturday, at kickoff, it's looking like it'll be about 35-ish degrees. 8 miles.
Sunny with light winds, ain't it?
Yeah. Sunny with light winds, humidity 66. If you're into the dew point stuff, 23. And right about the end of the game, it'll be a very nice balmy, about 42, 43 degrees, still pretty light wind, under 10 miles an hour.
This humidity is about as good of weather that Minnesota has had in Evanston.
Yeah.
In my recent memory, every time I picture an Evanston football game with Minnesota, it's 25 degrees sneeding, and it's just disgustingly high northwest winds, 30 mile an hour off the lake.
Yeah. No.
So it's – and also, I mean, I think we also have to note Northwestern's 2-8. There is going to be – what would you put the over-under at for people at this stadium?
Less than 5,000.
I was going to go 10,000, but even still, there is going to be absolutely no one there. And I think that's one of the things we got to talk about, or at least mention, I should say, is you go from playing in a crazy atmosphere in Kinnick Stadium to now you're going to go remain on the road, but now it's an 11 a.m. kick instead of 3 o'clock, and it's going to be absolutely dead. There, you cannot let Northwestern hang around in this game. And that starts with a quick start, Luke.
Absolutely. So let's get to your keys to the game, which I think you maybe already just gave one away.
Yeah, it certainly is. But my first one would be get back to being an efficient offense, because you look at the game last week against Iowa. The Gopher offense had their least efficient performance of the season. They had 3 drives within the Hawkeyes' 33-yard line that did not end in points. And that bugs the hell out of me. And that's it. That's why you didn't win the game, because you're not going to beat a ranked opponent at their place with 3 drives within their 33 that end in no points. That can't happen. But this week in Evanston, it's going to be a much different atmosphere. I mentioned it. You go from a sold-out afternoon game in Iowa City to what is likely to be a largely empty field in Evanston against a 2-win team, and it's an 11 a.m. kickoff. But as PJ Fleck would say, you cannot let circumstance dictate your behavior. So the Gophers still have to get back on track offensively before an absolutely massive home game next week against Wisconsin. But it's also going to depend on who starts a quarterback for Minnesota, whether it's Tanner Morgan, who has been in the concussion protocol all week. And like I mentioned earlier, we are not going to know his status until Saturday morning just before kick. And I'll be at the game, so I'll be able to tell you guys on the Twitter machine and or Gopher Illustrated if he's warming up or not. So if it is Tanner Morgan under center, then it's time to continue to work on getting this offense back into a groove. But if Morgan can't go and you're going to see either Cole Kramer or Jacob Clark, which Fleck was noncommittal about which one it would be during media availability this week, you have to temper expectations a little bit because it is a true freshman getting their first career start on the road against a good defense in an awfully dead environment. But one place that I think Minnesota's really got to get going, whoever the quarterback is with their running game. It was so incredibly potent in October. And when you look at how teams that at least have been able to run the ball somewhat, it's been mixed results at best, but it should be easier compared to the Iowa and the Penn State run defense. Indiana's back a few weeks ago, went for 116 yards and two scores on the ground. And I mentioned earlier that Iowa's three-headed running attack went for 139 and a score. But for the Minnesota Moving Company up front, you have to find number 97, Joe Gaziano. Fourth in the Big Ten in sacks. He's got eight tackles for loss in Big Ten play as well. He's a big impact player along that Wildcats front. And they also have those really good linebackers in Patty Fisher and Blake Gallagher. They aren't the most athletic defense that Minnesota has certainly faced in recent weeks, but they're very sound. They're very physical, and they're incredibly well-coached. Now, when you look at the statistics, Northwestern has been incredibly average in Big Ten play. They're 10th in points per game allowed, 28, 7th in yards per game allowed, 348, 8th in rush defense, allowing around 140 yards a game, and they're also tied for second to last in sacks with 10 in just 7 games. So as atrocious as their offense has been, Luke, their defense has gone from an elite unit over the last few years to now just being average. And that certainly has not helped the Wildcats this season. So if you're Kirk Ciarrocca, it's time to rectify last week's performance on the road. Regardless of quarterback, the Gophers have the skill position advantage against the secondary and the linebackers with better athletes. But as I mentioned earlier, and as Derek Burns wants folks to know, you can't just try to out-athlete them because that's what they want you to do. You have to have a sound scheme, a sound game plan, and go out and execute. So the offensive line needs to clean up their mistakes from last week. You'll get Curtis Dunlap back. Co-Keefe and the tight ends need to get a hat on a hat. And if you're able to do that and grab an early double-digit point lead, that may be all it takes to tame those Wildcats of Northwestern. Now, the second thing, Luke, is don't let an anemic offense get going. The largest reason why Northwestern has 2 wins on the season and none in Big Ten play is their offense has been an absolute dumpster fire. And for those of you who don't know what dumpster fire means, you should just Google it because it is a fantastic picture and it is completely representative of what Northwestern's offense has been. Starter TJ Green at quarterback, done against Stanford in their opening game out for the year. The 5-star quarterback transfer, Hunter Johnson, 47% completion percentage, 1 passing touchdown, 4 interceptions. He's been benched and hurt. Now you're on QB3 and Aiden Smith. And he has been an absolute adventure through the air. He's completing just 50% of his passes with 9 picks and 3 passing touchdowns, including a performance last week at home against UMass where he completed 7 passes with 2 picks. Not great. Not great. But it also doesn't help that their receiving core has also been a disaster because Pro Football Focus ranked that unit as the worst in college football out of 130 FBS teams a few weeks back. Now, their best pass catcher and the only one that actually caught a ball last week is a young man by the name of Riley Lees. He leads the team in catches and yards, but their other top receiving options are all going to miss this game. Kyreek McGowan, J.J. Jefferson, and Bennett Skowronek. I have no idea if I pronounced that one correctly, but here we are. So
that's a tough
running
one.
Back, yeah, it's Skowronek, I think is how it's enunciated, but at running back, it's also been a revolving door because their starter, Isaiah Bowser, you remember, rushed for a few touchdowns last year against Minnesota. he's also missed time, and he's probably going to be out for this game with an injury. That puts more on the plate of a young man by the name of Drake Anderson, who leads them in yards and carries, but he was just benched last week against UMass because he can't hang on to the ball. He had a first quarter fumble that put him in Pat Fitzgerald's doghouse, and that allowed Minnesota native and true freshman running back for Maple Grove, Evan Hall, to go off for 220 yards and four scores. But the question is, Luke, is he going to play this week? Because he's already appeared in three games this year, and their plan is to redshirt him. So do you save him for a more quote-unquote winnable game against Illinois next week, or do you play him in the hashtag revenge game with a little old stroll down Narrative Street against the Gophers this weekend?
Well, you have to imagine they're going to play him against an in-state rival.
I would imagine so as well, but I know some of the Minnesota staff aren't convinced of that. So even still, it's been a revolving door. I'm not entirely sure who's going to be out there. We'll have to see. It's also worth mentioning that Aiden Smith has rushed for over 200 yards at quarterback this year. He's not afraid to pull down and run. He's averaging nearly double-digit rushing attempts on the season. So if you're Joe Rossi, you have to enclose that pocket around them. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about their statistics offensively because it's fun to talk about a bad offense. They're 13th.
What? It's fun to talk about a bad? Okay, sure.
Well, I guess, when it's not Minnesota.
Okay, sure.
Well, considering the years of Minnesota anemic offenses, when it's now Minnesota's got a good one and other teams don't, it's fun to talk about them because they're 13th in Big Ten playing points at 9. They are 3.7 yards per play on offense, which is 13th. They are 13th in total offense, and they have 7 touchdowns offensively in 7 games. They also are averaging 49% completion percentage, 3-9 touchdown or touchdown interception ratio, and it's been a disaster. So if you're Joe Rossi, the game plan is this. You got to stack the box, make sure they can't run the ball, and then when Aiden Smith does drop back to throw, you can't let him get a running lane. You can't let him run for a 3rd and 9. You need to make him beat you with your arm. You got to stop the chunk plays, because if you look at how Northwestern has scored points in games, they've come off chunk plays. But if you make Northwestern drive the field and make Aiden Smith beat you with his arm, it's not going to go well for them. It's just not going to. Northwestern on 3rd downs this year, Luke, 31%. That's terrible.
Well, now, Luke, it's actually a Hall of Famer in baseball.
You're such a bot. God. Here's what I'll say. Can you imagine what my final key to the game is? I could not think of what to talk about. Do you think it might be special teams?
I was thinking probably something to do with a stove and not touching it because it could burn you.
For the love of God, special teams, stop hurting the team. That's the name of this key. Because it's death, taxes, and Minnesota special teams doing everything they can to not help the team. You'd be absolutely gobsmacked to learn that Northwestern is going to have an edge on Minnesota on special teams. Luke, I know I can hear you gasping. Just take a deep breath. Bear with me. Because ESPN FPI ranks Northwestern special teams as the 32nd most efficient in the country as a special teams unit. Minnesota, out of 130 teams, ranks 120th. It's 3rd worst in college football. Now, if you want to go by Football Outsiders, that's fine. Northwestern ranks as the 57th best. That's incredibly mediocre. Minnesota ranks awfully as the 101st best. And so I talked about the kicker situation. That's not even really what's in my craw, because I get it there. You have a true freshman or a redshirt freshman that have been kicking for you all year. 70%, that's fine. That's incredibly fine. With 2 freshman kickers, that's to be expected. But it's the other areas with older players that have regressed, where senior punter Jacob Herbers is 2nd to last in yards per punt. The only team that's worse, though, Luke, is Northwestern. So when you look at if this game gets into a punt-off, no one is going to win. We're all going to have our eyes bleed. But Northwestern's punter is somehow worse than what Minnesota's been getting at their punter. So don't expect either punter to be flipping the field. Northwestern's kickoff return unit is 4th in Big Ten play. Northwestern's punt return unit is third best in Big Ten play, while Minnesota's on the flip side is 13th. So as I continue to talk about each and every bleeping week, one game, Rob Winger, can you have your special teams unit help out the damn team instead of hurt it? No shanked punts, no terrible fourth quarter punts that don't flip the field, no stupid penalties, no block kicks, no missed PATs, no kickoffs out of bounds. Does that sound reasonable to you, Luke? All of those things. No penalties, shanked punts, block kicks, missed PATs, or kickoffs out of bounds. Am I asking for the world here in your mind?
Well, I think you missed bobbled catches.
The fact that you had to add one tells me about the state of Gopher special teams right now. So all I'm asking is one week where special teams isn't the primary reason why the defense or the offense is in a bad spot. That's all I'm asking for, Luke. That's all I'm asking. It's not the world.
All right, so let's get to that preview in terms of, prediction is what I was going for, but, you know, hashtag my cold sucks. Okay, so in terms of a prediction, I guess I'll go first. Traditionally, I have talked you into Northwestern wins many times because I have so much respect for Pat Fitzgerald. I have a lot of respect for this defense, but I think this year the offense is just probably too poor for Northwestern. I do see this, and then also by the same logic, I think when Minnesota wins, they usually win fairly big this year in Big Ten play, with the exception of Penn State. So I will definitely take the over, and I will definitely take that the Gophers will beat the spread. I will go with the Gophers 35-13.
Interesting. All right. I'll say this. It's tough for me to make a prediction not knowing the status of Tanner Morgan, but I will say this.
Oh, I assumed I should add that. I'm assuming Tanner Morgan's going to play. I have no factual basis to base that on. I am just guessing because I have made a score prediction that assumes that a very good quarterback plays. So there we go.
Hey, that's the best Gopher quarterback in my lifetime to you. And yeah. I don't really think it's debatable at this point with the season that Tanner Morgan's had.
Do you remember earlier when I said, you know, when Zach Anixted is healthy, I think he should get another crack at it? Boy, I'm looking really dumb right now with that one. See, I take back my bad takes.
Morgan has changed his best each and every week. And statistically, it's not even really a hot take or even an argument to say that Tanner is the best Gopher quarterback in 20, 30, 40 years. Not even close, but I'll say this. If Minnesota thinks that they're going to walk into Ryan Field and win, they're going to be in for a rude surprise because they have to wake up for this game. This cannot be a letdown spot against an inferior opponent in what is absolutely going to be a stale morning atmosphere. You can't be looking ahead to Wisconsin. You first have to take care of business against the Big Ten West champs at their place. But ultimately, I see the Gopher offense getting back to normal with their efficiency in opponent territory. And I truly don't know how, outside of special teams absolutely imploding for Minnesota, which is certainly within the realm of possibilities, how Northwestern puts up more than 17 points here. I just don't see it. And especially with the Gopher defense back to full strength with Kamal Martin. I don't know how they do it. So I see Minnesota grabbing their 10th regular season win for the first time since 1905 as the Gophers are able to win 27-13. And you may be thinking to yourself, how do they get to 27? I'm thinking a missed extra point, me boy, because we have to stay on brand.
Missed extra point. All right. So we want to thank everybody for listening. We've got one more preview left in the regular season.
Well, hopefully, if they're able to take care of business next week against Wisconsin. How fun would that be?
Yeah, but we do want to thank you all for listening. It's been a wild ride this season. Listenership's been unbelievable. We appreciate it so much. Again, if you want to rate and review the podcast, that's a great way that people can actually help find this and also tell a friend that might say, hey, I have a crazy long commute and I really like Gopher football. Here's a good way to waste some time. You can listen to us blabber on about Gopher football. So, want to thank you again for listening, and go Gophers.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.